Make all of their dressings, marinades, and pasta sauces in-house. Biggie's is famous for their garlic cheese bread, steak sandwich, and their homemade white French dressing. Biggie's is family-friendly and also provides catering, whether it's for 5 or for 500. Located at 3332 Watson Road, check them out online at biggiesrestaurant.com.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep.
There's that song again.
Just direct your feet.
Every day, about this time, that song comes
on. Of the street.
Isn't that weird?
Can you hear a pit-a-pat? And that happy tune is yours.
It's longer till Thursday.
Life can be so
about
sweet.
8 hours.
Yeah. On sunny side of the street.
I don't know what kind of central daylight time zone you're on.
In shape.
Oh, no, I'm looking at a clock that says 4 o'clock. It's not. It's only 10 past 3.
So it's 9 till Thursday.
This rover.
Ah, the barbershop. A reminder of a bygone era when men were men and women were sex cooks who did laundry.
Crossed over.
Wow.
I'll be rich as Rockefeller.
Just kidding, sort of.
Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the March 3rd. Today is Wednesday the 13th. You know, that lady that sent you a text or whatever, an email, she goes, hey, that spa thing is getting old. Well, how about the thing we just did? That's getting old, too. There's a whole bunch of stuff getting old. I'm starting to be proud of how old and overdone they are. It is the 13th. It's 2 days away from the Ides of March, 4 days away from, I've made this very clear over the years, the holiday that I don't participate in, I don't really get, St. Patrick's Day. It's an excuse for people to go to lunch and never come back and, you know, get drunk.
Eat corned beef
and cabbage.
Get drunk. No, get drunk. That's generally what it is. Green beer and people get trashed and I don't know. I got a thing about the alcohol problem we have in this country, so I will not, and don't intend to ever participate in that part of St. Patrick's Day, but it is 4 days away for those of you who do. This is a weird thing, but every St. Patrick's Day, the first thing I think about is a guy that I used to work for, and while I was working for him, his wife committed suicide on St. Patrick's Day, and I went to the house like 2 hours after it happened, and it was the weirdest, saddest, most depressing thing that I've ever seen.
Did she do it in the house?
In the garage. She started the car.
Oh.
She sat in the car with gloves, all dressed up, and a purse, like she was going to church.
Wow.
And a note. And when I got there, they had just taken her out, and you could still, in the garage, you could still smell, you know, the exhaust and stuff. It was really, really creepy, and he was obviously devastated. I mean, he didn't see this coming, but that's oddly enough when St. Patrick's Day comes. That's what I think of. That's the first thing I think of when I think of St. Patrick's Day. Now, let's all, if we could, and let's be good sports about this and do the right thing, even though we know what he tried to do to the show. Please welcome back Tim Woodburn, everybody. And Tim, don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about when I say this. Monday, we realized that somebody had tampered with our, it's called the 360 machine. It's a hard drive. It contains vital elements to the show, and somebody had tampered with it, and we knew immediately that it was you because you wanted the show to sound bad when you weren't on it. Well, I'm sorry to tell you, we went on and had a good show Monday and a good show Tuesday, and we forgive you. And I just, I want you to know that.
What are you talking about? The show sounds bad with it.
Yes, it does. But I think maybe you were hoping it would sound even worse.
And
it didn't
work. I would never tamper with that.
I would just like to say that even though you sabotaged it, Tim, I forgive you.
Yeah! No. You don't.
Yeah, I do, man.
I'll tell you why.
Tim
does not have...
Listen to how you're saying it.
No, hold on. Tim. It does not have "ma" in it.
Tim-ma.
If his name were, hold on, if his name were Timothy, I just won. I just won.
Well, you can't win because you can't win. You can't, if you've already won 2 days in a row, you can't play for the rest of the week. That's the rule we made last week, remember?
Okay, well, you don't win because if you'd said Timothy, but you don't you get it? Tim does not end in "ma."
You just did it.
It has to have "ma" in the middle or the end or the beginning of a word.
I'm going to say
so
organically
all
now.
On "ma" day.
Now do it again and say the full name. Do it if you want to win. Do it again and say the full name, not the short version. Tim, go ahead.
Okay, Timothy.
There you won. You just won.
Yeah.
So you have to understand. Like when Cleveland tried to do my doesn't have "ma" in it. It has "my" in it. There's no "ma." There's no "u" or "uh." So maybe now you understand how it works. And yes, you've won. And I can't win because I can't win twice in a row. No, Dan, it's over. The point we're trying to make is that we forgive Tim and we welcome him back. No hard feelings. And he just actually, while meaning to sabotage the show, tested us to see if we were if we had the ability, you know, without some of those sounds to go on and carry on, and we did. And by the way, you told me where you were going, and honest to goodness, I'm so bad about it. I delete emails and texts. I don't even remember where were you. Or can you tell?
It's part of my Burke segment.
He was in the green room.
Oh, okay. Well, shoot. let's get that underway.
Oh, we have a caller too. If you want to do that before we go to the Burke segment. His name's Travis.
Did you put it on the screen?
Yes.
Well, then I need to reboot my thing here because I don't. Hang on, I don't see it. Tell Travis to hang on while I do this.
Hang on, Travis. Frank's doing something.
This is awkward, but something happened. Hold on here. Click. There. Oh, okay. I rebooted it, and there it says. Hold on. I just have to. There it says. Travis. It's on the screen. Now we can talk to him. Travis, welcome to 590 The Fan. What's going on?
Oh, hi. I guess I used to be AM and PM. I think I still am.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
Back when Tina was on, I used to listen. I started listening.
Never heard of her.
Wow.
Yeah, I was Tina. You don't remember Tina?
I'm kidding. Yes, of course. Yes. I do. What do you mean? What do you mean you think you're still AM and PM? What does that mean?
Yeah, I guess so. Because I don't... I quit listening for a while. I guess I'm back in the back on it. So.
Back in the groove.
Apparently you are. You called us and you're listening now, so I guess you are back.
I got a question. I got a few things. You got Bruce Limpwrist in the boy orchestra.
Uh-huh. Yeah, been with us forever.
Yep.
But when you play the song, it sounds like "Enjoy the partners in Him." There's no. It sounds like a woman. So who's the fat lady singing on that? Song. It's all
well, that Playhouse jingle is not Bruce Limpwrist. That's not his orchestra. That's we've used that for 30 years before Bruce came on board. That's the Pinion Chorale. Mm-hmm. Pinion Choir. Pinion Players, Pinion Choir,
the
whatever.
Chorale Choir.
The Chorale Choir. Thank you. Like directed by Alyssa Strauss.
Yes.
Yeah. So it has nothing to do with Bruce.
That's a good answer.
Mm-hmm.
I got a joke. It's real easy. You don't need your shotgun. You just hit it with a fly swatter.
Well,
I'm sure
ahead.
You've heard it. A lady goes to the doctor. And the doctor says, "Doc, every time I sneeze, I have an orgasm."
Pepper.
And the doctor says, yeah.
Mow your lawn. Travis got his lawn
pepper.
Black pepper, same thing. I like the fact, Travis. I like the fact that you get a bigger kick out of yourself than you do us. I like that. Travis is enjoying himself calling, and we are too.
Well, it's funny. I had a couple more things I'd have forgot by now, though.
Thank God.
Well, let's take a minute and see if you can remember them. Limey, do you have some time passing music? And we'll let Travis try to think of what it was he wanted to say. Go ahead, take your time, Travis.
I moved away.
Oh, you moved away to where?
Texas.
You're in Texas now?
Yes, sir.
All right, man. Thanks for listening
to
Texas.
I used to live up St. Louis. I used to live up there, and I moved back. I'm from down here, so. Here's another thing. It bugs me. you always say, I'm from the South. I'm from Tennessee. I grew up on the Gulf Coast down in South Louisiana and Southeast Texas. Like, okay. I was always like half hour from the Gulf Coast. And I grew up, that's the South. I mean, you go any south, but further south, you're going to go out in the Gulf. So growing up, they always said the Civil War, the South was Kentucky and Tennessee. I'm like, that's way north Tennessee from where I'm from.
No. Go to Shiloh National Park in Tennessee, where the Battle of Shiloh and the Civil War was fought. And you'll agree then that Tennessee was absolutely a part of that war and is considered South. If you ask even people in St. Louis, they'll tell you Tennessee, Mississippi, that's the Kentucky, the South. Now you're further south.
Obviously. You're in the far south.
Yeah,
it's funny to me, just to me personally, as a kid growing up, I'm like, how can that be called the South? It's way up north.
Why did you go back to Texas, if I could ask?
I'm from down here. I just was up in Missouri for a few years or so.
For work?
And then I come back down here. Yes, sir.
But what part of Texas?
I'm down by Galveston, down on sea. There I go, even further south.
Oh, yeah.
what do you do for a living?
I work telecommunications and types internet stuff and communications, but I like your show. It's the best thing about it is there's no politics. There's so many idiot political crap on.
No, we try to stay away from that. Every once in a while, it's almost impossible when something happens, but we try our best to stay away from it because I'm sick of it.
I thought of one more funny thing. This is what I was going to tell you. Okay, it was like the first week I listened. Dan used to do Stiefel Nicholas, not just Stiefel. It was Stiefel Nicholas.
Right.
And he would say hello to the chicks, which I guess that's, anyway. And I remember one day he was doing, I said it. He said he was doing his spiel about the thing. And this is Frank. He goes, Frank said something goofy like he does. He goes, what do you call like Santa Claus on the top of the church something? And then he goes, Steeple St. Nicholas.
Wow, you got a big kick out of that.
Yeah, it was one of the stupidest puns.
And we do a lot of stupid stuff.
And I went, what kind of show am I listening to? What the heck was that? And it was so funny and stupid. And that's what you guys do. You do stupid, corny stuff, and that's why I love it.
Yep.
Steeple St. Nicholas. Well, thank you.
And
thanks for listening in Texas. We got another big listener in Dallas. He's been listening for 7 years in Dallas ever since he moved away.
Okay.
We're doing well in Texas, I guess.
My camera's from Texas. No. All right, Dan, y'all have a good day.
All right, Travis, you too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
He seemed like a happy person.
He was.
Yeah, no kidding. That's an understatement. What is that guy eating or smoking or whatever? We need to get a hold of some of that stuff.
I know.
I mean, he thought everything was funny. I might as well talk to Mark since we're taking calls here, even though we haven't given the phone number. I'm glad to know we're big in Texas. Mark, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Hey, Frank and the gang.
Oh, Mark.
Hello, Mark.
I'm AM and a PM, Mark.
Thank you.
AM.
Why can't he be right about his Tim when it started off with there's no more fun left on FM?
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, that is a great question, but we modified it to where we made it clear more than once. And from now on, it has to have a "ma" in the word. Yes, it started with FM "ma," but we've advanced from there.
Mark, and you're my hero for today, buddy.
We fine tuned it. That's a great question.
Great question.
Oh my lord. And I also wanted to say I'm in my 50th year truck driving. I enjoyed hearing you talk to that truck driver yesterday.
Yeah, I got a lot of good email about that. I enjoyed that, too. Thank you.
You're in your 50th year driving?
No, he's in his 50s. Sir.
Oh.
Wait a second.
Whoa.
No. Been driving for 50 years?
That's right.
How old are you?
56.
I am 67 in April.
56. Wow. We've been driving since you're 16?
Wow.
17? Wow.
Man, I mean, you got a driver's license, just jumped right in the truck.
Yeah.
I did. Back then, you had no training. Just somebody showed you how to shift gears.
Yeah. Oh, man.
The good old days.
Good to go.
Well, thanks for keeping us with you on the road. We appreciate it, and thanks for the call.
Can I give you my version of my yodel?
Sure.
Okay, here we go. I led your lady to...
Hold on. That's actually a joke. It's a joke about how did yodeling get started. And it's a guy who has sex with this girl, and then he has sex with his mom, and as he's with her mom, and as he's leaving, he goes, "I did the old lady too." That's a good joke. That was good. That was good.
Like I said, first time caller. I've been listening forever. Just never had the nerve to call in.
See how easy it is? You can call now anytime. Now that you've done it once, next time will be easy. All right.
So easy. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
First time to call in all these years.
Mark the
driving
yodeler.
The truck since he was 16.
Wow.
Did the old lady?
How many 16-year-olds? That's not something that I thought of at 60. I just wanted to get a driver's license and drive a car. I never thought I'd like to jump in a big rig right away. At 16, so thank you, Mark. And now it is time for the Burke segment. Without even asking, I know Tim Woodburn has something to say. Tim Woodburn, you can start the Burke segment.
Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
The last 2 days, I was paid by a group of doctors and a pharmacist to attend the Missouri Marijuana Business Convention in St. Louis. So that's where I've been for the last 2 days. And it was a fascinating convention to attend. I was kind of sick the whole time, but something that I think is really funny happened to me at the very end of the convention, where I was just collecting recon and attending seminars and stuff like this, and I got to write these guys a report. But a lot of people paid a lot of money for booths at this convention, and then the attendees also paid obviously to attend the convention. Anywhere from $200 to $400 depending on what kind of pass you wanted to have. There's about 1,500 people down there according to the Post-Dispatch. And so all these people pay all this money to have all these booths, and they hand out all this literally paraphernalia to everyone and marketing materials and stuff. And I had to use the bathroom one last time after I attended the final speaking seminar yesterday. And I'd probably been in the bathroom twice a day, twice a day, four total times. I guarantee what I saw in the bathroom the last time I was there at the very end of the day yesterday was not in the bathroom the first 3 days. And the reason you're going to like this, Frank, in my opinion, is because of the marketing slogan. I know you're a big advertising slogan guy. Is because of the marketing slogan on the piece of material that I brought into the studio today to show as proof, just so I'm not making this up.
Okay.
And as I walk up to the urinal, after 2 days of serious, talk about, the Missouri medical marijuana business and industry, there is a card on top of the urinals as they're all spread across, and it is for it's for a dating website. I can't even say this without laughing. It's for a dating website. It's called my420mate.com.
My 420 mate.
And you're gonna love their marketing slogan. The front of this card.
Yeah.
My420mate.com. They call themselves the Cupids of cannabis. it's the number one dating community for 420 friendly singles. And here's their marketing slogan. Ready for it? Here it comes. My420mate.com. Their marketing slogan: plant your seed and watch your love grow.
Oh, that's good. No, that's good. And you know what? I'm not the least bit surprised. In fact, I would have thought that it was a dating site. A couple of years ago, at least, for people, like-minded pot smokers who want to get together. There's a dating site for everything else. I just found a dating site, and I may talk about it later, for people who like to go snow skiing. And the way it works is you meet on the ski lift. You sit together on the lift, and however long it takes you to get up to the top of the hill, that it's like this lunch where they, speed dating thing.
Yeah.
So you sit together and you ride on this gondola ski chair, and then by the time you get off, you either clicked or you didn't click. So, yeah, pot smoker dating site, of course. That makes perfect sense.
Well, what's funny is that they wanted this to be your lasting impression of attending the seminar, and they didn't want to have to pay for the booth space. So, on the last hour, they probably sent some kid in there with a $20 bill to go fill all the bathrooms up with these cards. And this is the last, because what does everybody do before they leave and get on the car to go home? Everybody's got to use the bathroom one last time. And so they handed...
All right, you're the research guy. Google.
Yeah.
Just Google pot smoking dating websites. I'll bet you there are others. besides my 420 mate, whatever.
I'll they have an app, apparently.
Oh, yeah. Here's the card. I actually brought this for you.
Let's see this.
I'm actually going to hand them out to everybody.
I didn't doubt for a minute. I didn't even need to see the proof. That makes perfect sense to me. I guess there's a dating website for motorcycle enthusiasts, boaters. I just think of anything. People who like to garden or bird watch. Oh, probably a dating site for everybody.
Yeah, there's actually 10. Date420friendly.com, my420mate.com, 420singles.com, stonersingles.com.
Stoner. Wow.
is there an odder group of people than the bird watching people? I don't want to make anybody mad if you're listening to bird watch.
No, there
really? Who would that be?
People who watch trains, train spotters. They're weirder than bird watchers because they just stand. This is a hobby in England. They stand at train stations and they look at trains going by and they mark down their numbers. They're called train spotters. And they are weird. So,
and
yes.
And what's the point? I mean, do you collect information?
Or? No, like back in the day, it started because people, like, you know, steam engine enthusiasts. And then the electric train started and now it's taken off. I mean, there are people who just stand there and just watch trains just to see them.
I guess we have them here, too, not just London. I bet they're here. I bet the train crowd is here. But the bird watching people... At least the way they're portrayed, like if you watch a movie or they're always dressed in like safari clothes and they have binoculars and a notepad or, you know, and then they have somebody guiding them. There's the yellow-throated. This is such a rare. It's always like they always seem to find some rare sighting of some bird. I don't get it.
There's a crow.
I do not get it. Yeah. Look. A blue jay. And they know these odd names, yellow-throated, thrusted something or other. And then you see the bird, and now what? I mean, so what? I don't know. Look, don't email me. I'm a bird watcher, and I'm a fan. Don't be. I didn't say I hate you, or you have a right to watch birds. I just don't get it. I don't get the train thing either, but
neither do I.
I sort of do because it's no different than car people. You know, they go to these car shows, and how many 57 Chevys can you see? But they still like it.
Well, I'll tell you what's cool. When you go out to Grafton, not that this is traditional bird watching, but you go out to watch them dive into the water and pluck that fish out of the water and then
now you're talking.
See, you get a little action in your bird watching, maybe
now
you like
you're
a little
talking.
Better.
Sure. As opposed to just looking up in a tree.
Yeah, watching it flap its wings.
And then it flies away. Yeah, the diving for fish, I've always liked that.
Yeah.
When we go on these trips with listeners, we're always on the ocean, and, man, I just stand there. I can't believe it. Think of the vision that a bird has to have. It's in the air, and it can look down, and beneath the surface of the water, it sees a fish and dives down and plucks it out of the water. And it's not on the surface, so they can see below water from up in the air. That's some great vision. I'm telling you. I don't know which birds do that. Eagles do it. Hawks don't dive underwater.
Eagles, kingfishers, seagulls. There are a whole bunch of sea invert birds. I'm trying to think now. The blue-footed booby.
Blue-footed booby?
The blue-footed booby. Yeah, it is. Yeah, I'm not kidding. It's got blue feet. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Blue-footed booby.
I believe it lives in the Pacific.
Hmm.
Yep.
I like that name.
Yeah, not kidding. Yeah.
Anything else, Tim?
Yeah, I had another quick one. I was accused of an act of racism last night, and it took me 5 seconds to offset the accusation and to put the accuser back in her place. Last night, there was an episode of Family Feud that came out, and this is not a show I normally watch. It happened to come on after the news, and I was stepped away from my couch. I had a friend over for dinner last night, and...
Who's the host now, Family Feud?
Steve Harvey.
Yeah, Steve Harvey.
Who's an African-American male.
Yeah, they had like four hosts
Right. Steve Harvey is the current host of Family Feud. So it's not a show I normally watch. I'm not a fan of it. But it happened to be the show that came on after the show I was watching. And I can hear him introducing the winning family that's back to defend their title for the fourth time in a row. And I forget the name of the family, but it was an all-black family. And there's a reason why I'm saying this. Normally, I wouldn't care less what their race is, but there's a reason why. So it's an all-black family, and they're the three-time defending champ. They're on last night. And the only reason I watched it is because the opposition family last night, and I found out later this was a rerun, was a group of hot Bosnian sisters from St. Louis.
Nice.
Five of them. The Memic sisters. And they were on last night. And so I'm like, oh, okay, I'll stick around and watch this to see how the St. Louis girls do. And they were all real good-looking gals, I might add. And
The Mimic sisters?
Well, you know what? Their real last names, I think that's their maiden names because some of them are married. I think I met them. It's actually two groups of sisters that combined to form these five young ladies. And they were all probably between 20 and 30 for sure.
No, I met them, the Mimic sisters, because okay. I remember I said, hey, nice to meet you, and they said, hey, nice to meet you.
That was terrible.
That was so bad, it's funny. That was so bad, it's funny.
Wow.
God.
Wow.
Thanks, everybody. Go ahead. jealousy rears its ugly head.
So, just for sake of storytelling, I'm going to call the black family the Jennings family. I don't think that's their name, but I'm just going to separate. Hold that thought. Why? Because Jennings is a mostly black community. Okay, how about the town and country family?
Why don't you just call them the Fergusons?
Okay. I see where this is going. I was just throwing
the Chesterfields. Okay. Yeah. The Chesterfield family.
Yeah, the Chesterfields. The Chesterfields and the Memics. And so the Chesterfields are just killing them. You know, you got to get to 300 points. It's like 230 to nothing. And so it goes to, you know, triple the points. And the category was, Steve Harvey goes, we asked 100 women, what would you do if somebody threw a drink in your face at a bar? And there's
that's a good one.
And there's eight total answers. And the Chesterfields didn't win the initial, you know, slam off. So the Memic sisters were going through and they're trying to get all eight. And they got to about six of them, and like number five and number eight were left on the board, and they got the three strikes, and they were out. And so now it goes over to the Chesterfields to steal, and there's a matriarch of this family, and she's clearly the leader of this family, and you know you don't mess with the matriarch of the Chesterfields.
No.
And so Steve Harvey goes over, okay, Chesterfields to steal and to win the show. Two answers up on the board still. What we asked 100 women, what would you do if somebody threw a drink in your face at a bar, and all I did was blurt out, shoot him.
Oh, God. Now, you did this in front of somebody?
In front of a friend of mine, a female friend of mine. And she goes, that's racist. And I go, and I thought about it, and I go, oh, I'm in trouble maybe. And it took me about 5 seconds, and I looked at her, and I go, have you ever seen Thelma and Louise?
Yeah.
And she looked at me, and she goes, oh, that's a good point.
But by the way, why is it racist? Because it implies that you think black people shoot people?
I don't know.
I don't get it.
I don't know, because I guess because I didn't say it while the white people were guessing, and when the black people were guessing, I suggested that their answer would be shoot them.
What did she say? Do you remember?
Well, yeah, they actually won. It was wipe the drink from your face was one of the two answers the Memic sisters didn't get, and so the Chesterfields won.
Oh.
And the other answer that the Memic sisters didn't get was lick the drink from your face. Who's going to do that if somebody throws a drink at your face?
No, nobody said call the police, or nobody said...
They actually guessed try and get them thrown out of there, and that was they got an X for that. Wow. Call security. I would have guessed call security. The number one,
or call the police.
Yeah, well, you know the number one answer that women gave was for that? Throw a drink back in their face.
There you go.
Right, throw it right back at them.
There you go.
That was the number one answer. So I was accused of racism when I said shoot him.
Nowadays you say anything and you're racist.
I quashed it.
You can't win.
I quashed it. So thanks to Thelma and Louise. Thank you, Louise, for shooting that guy in the parking lot when he was on top of Thelma, and you saved me last night. Thank you.
All right.
That's it
for
me.
Did this woman storm out, or did she stay with you later?
Well, you know, after an hour, her time was up, and she had to leave. So.
One of those hourly visits.
Nice.
From the Robert Kraft Spa.
Better in the green
Robert
room.
Robert Kraft Escort Service.
Oh, man.
Anybody else for the Burke segment?
Mine just involves explosive diarrhea.
Oh, nice.
You want to have that?
Let's hear that.
All right. Well,
racist.
I know, right? Well, no. Today, I finally experienced. I only got to see it. I thankfully didn't have to clean it up. But an old lady explosive diarrhea
Well, like, explain to people, this was at your other workplace, right?
Yeah. This
for
was,
those who don't know, you work in a restaurant. I think sometimes a lot of people didn't ever hear that. Earlier in the day, you work in a restaurant. You're what? You're like a maitre d' or something.
I am a maitre d'. I'm a host. So we're walking around, you know, people are getting their food, being served and all that. And
by the way, whatever this story is, I have one to top it because my boys are in the restaurant business. So go ahead.
Well, this lady comes up to me. She's like, hey, excuse me. I just want to let you know that somebody kind of made a large mess in the bathroom. And I was thinking, all right, yeah, you know, like toilet paper or something like that. So I had a lady, one of our female servers, stand by the door. I walked in, I'm like, whoa. I mean, we're talking on the stall walls. Whoa. We're talking on the seat, on like the actual part of the back that holds it, on
how
the floor.
Like the 40-year-old virgin, remember that scene where she did it?
Oh, yeah, just like that. Mm. And it was like she just, like, maybe just past the clothes, past the butt crack, and just let rip. So, unfortunately, the general manager...
By the way, you have to get cleaned up immediately, because if you don't, you don't want another restaurant patron walking in there.
And
you
sitting on
get
it.
That,
it's like paint, yeah. It's like one of those paint pellet, you know, things.
It was everywhere.
Against the wall.
It's like somebody had, like, tried to, like, you know...
Wow.
You know, the marble art, the marble dash and all that stuff. It was horrible. And so, the general manager got that cleaned up, and we were like, okay, cool. And then about
the general manager cleaned it up?
Yeah, the general manager cleaned it up because everybody
good
else...
Good for him. Good for him.
You know, if you ever watch This Is America with Borat, there's a scene in there where a guy does that and he makes art out of it. You should watch that.
Art?
And then 45 minutes later, another lady comes up to me and she was like, hi, somebody... kind of made a mess in the women's bathroom. Like, oh, no.
This
not
is after
again.
The first one?
This is after the first one.
A serial offender?
A serial pooper.
A serial pooper.
So we went, went back in, and I'm telling you, the smell on this was atrocious.
You think it was the same person?
I think it was the same person because, again, I saw the general manager wiping up bits on the floor and on the side of the wall.
It had to be.
Like, I mean, I didn't want to publicly shame this person,
How do you hit the wall?
I can think of is this, like, you know, as me and Dan were talking about earlier off air, that she
Dan
just,
and I were ta- Dan and
sorry,
I were talking
the about. Dan and I were discussing earlier that she obviously was just, as she was getting ready to sit down, you know, she was pulling the pants down and just couldn't hold back anymore and boom,
on her way down, it's just the explosion.
Yep.
There's no way gonna help you with that.
Wow.
But what, guessing on the trajectory of this, she must have got it on, like, her legs and on, like, on her clothes and everything. So, I mean, ooh.
Stayed in the restaurant, apparently, and then went back?
Yeah.
How do you not just go home?
We couldn't figure out which one it was, because, we were hunting.
We'll just walk through the restaurant and do this.
Yeah.
You'll find her.
Yeah, so women do get explosive diarrhea. I can attest. That's a thing.
Right, thank you for that. Boy, we just lost most of our audience.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Whew. Okay, anybody else? Bert segment?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
We have callers.
We can take them. Let me hang on here. Which one's first? Will.
Will, yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's bring Will in here. Will, welcome to 590 The Fan. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Hammond.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Well, first of all, Limey, thanks for the input, because I won't eat there.
It was not our food.
Just don't go to the bathroom.
I got news for you, Will. Will, I got news for you. That has happened at every single restaurant. Every restaurant, that happens.
I was dish pig at Denny's. I've done my fair share of dish pig and restaurant work before. I was a mechanic and then a logger and a tree man. But I talked to Dan yesterday. You know that plane that crashed in Waterloo?
Right.
Passed over my house I heard that engine malfunction when it was going over the top of my trees pretty damn low. I heard like an explosion, and then I heard all these fire trucks, so I thought it crashed down on the bottoms. I live at Priggy and Larimore, and there's Hazelwood School, and if you go east of there, you're right at Riverview, where the old golf course used to be.
Frank, this plane nosedived down. I read about this. This plane nosedived down and then did a flip in midair and landed on its top. And the grandma and grandpa and the 4-year-old grandson inside all survived.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, there was they landed on an off-duty police officer's property. And he went and saw a fire extinguisher, ended up breaking out the windows, getting the kids out, and then getting everybody out.
Wow. They're very lucky because planes are made out of very lightweight material and they crush like a cheap can. They just do. And for them to get out, that's great. I mean, that's usually the result is different, put it that way.
Yeah, so, it's great space.
I didn't see what kind of plane it was. Do you know what kind of plane it was? Anybody know?
It was a single engine four seater. Do you remember, Will?
The most popular four seater is a Cessna 170.
I think it was a Cessna. It was.
Yeah, I was going to say a Cessna 170.
But at the time when this happened, gentlemen, then all these fire trucks are gone. They had evacuated Hazelwood School because they had a fire. So it wasn't related, but I had went down, and then when I got back to the house, that's when I saw breaking news that this plane had crashed because I had stopped and said, did everybody hear that? No one around here heard the engine, but I heard it as it passed over our house. I heard when that engine blew.
That's very rare.
Engine, you hear.
Well, what was fascinating about the story to me was that, you know, normally when a plane crashes like that, there aren't survivors. And the survivors were able to actually recount to the authorities what exactly happened. And apparently the grandma, who was riding shotgun in the plane, piloting the plane, she said that oil spewed from the front of the plane and it smeared up all over the windshield and they could not, they had no vision to see anything.
It has happened. It's rare. And sometimes it's almost always human error. Like the last mechanic that worked on it didn't put the cap on the oil. I mean, I'm not kidding. It's rarely is it the plane. Something that happened because of somebody didn't do something right.
Dumb question.
I had a buddy who had he was flying out west and the engine just absolutely quit and he landed in a cornfield in Forestdale. And they found out that the fuel line was not properly connected and clamped from the last mechanic that worked on it. So the hose just popped loose and all the fuel was just kind of spread and not getting to the engine. It just quit.
And Trump,
luckily, he could land it in the cornfield, and they were able to fly it out of there.
Trump just shut down all the Boeing 737 MAX 8 and MAX 9s today, too. Yeah. All of them. All cancellations out of Lambert and everywhere.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that I agree with that call. I don't know that two incidents, and there are what? How many of these things? 300-something of them in the air? I don't know that two, because they don't even know yet specifically what happened in the second case. So I don't know. It seems a little premature to me, but it's not my call. So, Will, thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
One more thing.
Sure.
You guys were talking about the dating site with pot.
Right.
Okay. Well, you know, smoking pot and dating, that's better than having beer goggles on and waking up and seeing that, man, you shouldn't have dated her.
Oh, gnawing your arm off?
Yeah.
Isn't that possible, though, with pot? If you're stoned enough, she looks better than she really does? Isn't that possible?
No, it isn't.
No?
Don't work that way. In fact, about the best thing, you'll laugh your butts off if it's good weed. In fact, I laugh my ass off. All right. Hey, when I'm with you guys.
So, in other words, you're saying for this show to be funny, you need to be stoned. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, it just puts it up there, buddy. It makes it even better.
He makes a good point, Frank. In about 9 months from now, our show's going to get a lot funnier.
Yeah. maybe we need a show opening statement that says something like, you're about to listen to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. It's much funnier if you'll have a little pot right
if
now.
You're
the
high.
Show will begin after you. We give you time to take a couple of big drags, and then the show will begin, and it'll be a lot funnier. Maybe we'll just do that once we know it's out there, and it will be out there, and it'll go beyond medicinal. It'll be recreational all over the country very soon. Will, thank you for the call.
Take two gummy bears.
Thank you, Will. I have some business to do. Let's take Bill's call.
Bill.
And then I'll do my. Yeah, that's right. Bill. And then I'll do my business. Bill, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Great guys. AM and the PM.
Thank you.
Real quick, I just wanted to. Limey said that train spot people are the weirdest, and he is spot on, as they say over in England.
Thank you.
It is, Frank, honest to God, I took my parents, real quick, I took my parents to Kirkwood one day to the farmer's market, and there they have an Amtrak station. So my parents wanted to sit at a park bench and just kind of reminisce or whatever, so we're sitting there, And I look over, and there's these grown men with, like, tripods set up, cameras, and, like, you know, they got, like, notebooks, tripod. And, like, you know, this, like, weird, you know what I mean? So I'm like, what's happening? And then the next thing you know, this big fat guy comes running down the track, and he's flashing these cards, and he's got numbers on these cards. And then everybody jumps up, and they're, like, taking notes, and he was relaying that the train's about to come. And wow. And so these guys are just like, I mean, it's incredible. So I went over after it was all over and talked to one of the guys. They have notebooks full of, like, when the train came, was the windows down. It is nuts.
Wow.
It's the craziest. They're the nuttiest people in the history of the world.
I'm trying to imagine these guys getting together at a happy hour after and say, oh, did you hear the brakes on that 412? Oh, those brakes sounded good.
No kidding.
Those windows on the 230, those were some dirty windows.
Wow.
I mean, how fun could that be? I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
it's the stupidest thing.
Apparently for them, it's a lot of fun.
Wow.
And so, you know, thank God YouTube, and Frank, I always say, you know, I'm the guy that called in a while back about Jessica White. I love Jessica White on YouTube, but you can look up Train Spotters on YouTube, and it gets into this whole thing of how they do it. It's just, it's nuts.
Holy.
I know a lot of them also collect, like, the serial numbers of the train, so they can, like, I've seen this one before and all that. It's weird.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
So that's it. Limey, you were spot on, my friend.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, sir.
I've never heard of this, ever. Thank you, Bill. I've heard of, I like, people that like Lionel, you know, set up big elaborate toy train sets in their house and all that stuff. And smaller scale trains, like that run through the zoo, you know, like miniature trains and little cars that kids can ride in. I've never heard of this. These grown people that spot trains and make a big deal out of it. But you know what? I've decided not to criticize anybody anymore because I don't have anything. I don't have a hobby. No, I'm not kidding. I don't have a hobby. And I kind of am envious of people who have one. I don't care what it is. Bird watching, train watching, whatever. If you're into it that's what gets you off, great. I think maybe one day I'll find something that I want to do. Hey, but I don't know what it is yet.
I think Mike said that he's in Jupiter, Florida, I believe, listening to Jupiter.
Spring training. Let's get him on here. Then I can we'll get caught up eventually. Mike, welcome to 590 The Fan. Thanks for listening down in Jupiter. What's up?
Hi, Frank. I'm AM to Mike. PM.
Thank you, Mike. You sound like you're next door.
Well, you sound the same way. I don't know if you remember this. About 2 years ago, well, whenever you first came on 590, I called you from Siesta Key, Florida.
I don't remember that.
Told you that we were getting you so clear down there, you know. But nowadays, with you being on this app, it's so easy, it's not even funny.
The app is the best.
Go ahead.
You almost caught yourself. He almost said it, and he caught himself. Way to go. Way to go.
I'm also going on the cruise this year with you.
Beautiful. You will love it. You're going to love it.
The other thing is, my nephew is Harrison Bader from the Cardinals.
Wow.
Whoa.
That's your nephew?
Whoa.
Well, not really.
Oh.
Come on. That's,
my last name is Bader.
Really?
Whenever I see anybody, I tell them that he's my nephew.
Oh.
just like the Supreme Court Justice...
Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Oh. Hey, how do you spell your last name B-A-D-E-R?
Yes.
I'm guessing in school you got more than your fair share of Bader jokes, master.
Oh, man.
I mean, I bet kids called you, hey, master, here comes master. Master Bader.
I got three grandkids, so three boys, so they put up with it all the time. One time, remember the chili cook-offs out at Westport or whatever?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
We got a chili cook-off, and I'll never forget calling the gal at the, I think it's the Kidney Association, heart, whatever, and told her that, you know, we wanted to get in, blah, blah, blah. And I finally said to her, now, we got kind of a unique name, so I don't know if you'll allow us in or not, you know. So I said, our name is Master Bader.
Well, there was a silence.
And I of course there was.
I could hear her laughing on the other end. And she finally said, oh, I don't think that'll be a problem, you know. Yeah, so we did. We got in. We actually ended up third in as far as the amount of money we brought in. We had T-shirts. We had golf balls. We had coolie cups, you name it. And we didn't win chili-wise, but we did get a trophy for being third in the contest. So it was pretty special. But anyway.
Well, good. There's still hope. There's still hope for those of us who aren't politically correct and still like to have fun with a name like Bader. Good.
Well, I can't wait to meet you for the cruise. It's going to be our 50th anniversary.
Well, we're going to have a get together before the cruise, like we always do, like the first week of June, and we'll meet then. And you'll be notified later when and where that's going to be. But I look forward to it too. Make sure when you come up and introduce yourself, there's no way that I won't remember Mr. Bader. Okay, so it's going to be fun. You'll be glad you did this. I'm glad you're going. Thank you.
Very good. All righty.
Hi, Mike.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. There you go. We'll all, except Limey, get to meet a man who, as a young man, would have been called Mester Bader. When I was a kid, you'd get mail addressed to, let's say your name was Jimmy Smith. It'd be Mester Jimmy Smith. Did you ever have that happen?
Yes.
And that's gone now. That doesn't exist anymore. But, you know, Mester Jimmy
Smith.
Wasn't
that, they called you Master until the age of 18 or 16?
I don't remember.
I think it was younger than that. I don't remember either, but boy, this poor guy, Mester Bader, stepped forward.
Fun childhood.
School. Let's see, we closed the Burke segment. I'm behind now on business. I'm going to catch up a little bit, catch up again after the news, and then I'm going to do the honors for John Landoff today. And before you know it, Dr. Doug will be here. There's a big article this morning in USA Today about the majority of pets in this country are overweight. And Dan Strauss is now a dog lover now that he spent a little time with Diesel, his dog. And my grandson's about to get a dog. It'll be born next week, so in about 7-8 weeks, he'll have his first dog. And if you have any questions about, you know, which dog to get or questions about your pet, stick around because next hour, as it has been for 15 years or so, Dr. Doug Pernikoff will join us. I don't know where you bank. I couldn't possibly know that. There are lots of you out there and you're all banking different places. Some of you, many of you are doing your banking at First Community Credit Union, and a lot of you because of this show. Thank you for that. Those of you who aren't, same question. Same question I always like to ask. Why are you banking where you bank? And if you don't have a really good reason for staying there, and you probably don't, most of you, would you consider becoming a member of First Community Credit Union? It would mean a lot to us because they know your AM and the PM. They know that, you know, they're getting results from the money they're spending to support the show and to sponsor in its entirety the yard sale every Saturday morning from 7 to 9 o'clock right here on 590 The Fan, the original yard sale, the good yard sale. It's here, 7 to 9 every Saturday, and it's only here because of First Community Credit Union. There's only one way to thank First Community or Mark and Jason or John Landoff or Thompson Bryce or Ballast Dental or any of these people. The only way to really thank them is to let them know that you know about them because of this show. It's all we ask. So here's the deal. First Community Credit Union is a place to bank. You know what banking facilities do. You get your credit card, your debit card. You have a savings account, a checking account, a home loan, car loan, second line of credit for your business. Maybe you might want to consider First Community Credit Union as your business banking partner if you're a small business. They love small business. Now, it's spring-like weather already. Little taste of what's to come. You boaters and motorcycle people, First Community Credit Union loves boaters and motorcyclists, and they'd love to help make it possible for you to get the loan you need to get that bike you want or that boat you want. And don't forget about wedding loans, because people right now are planning weddings for October. That's the number one month for weddings. Not cheap, usually. Wedding loans, First Community Credit Union. All right, you want to know more? FirstCommunity.com. Over 40 locations, largest credit union in the St. Louis area. Please stay with us. We have the news, then we have Dr. Doug Pernikoff. If you have a pet and you have a question, we'll give you the numbers when we come back. It's 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is TJ Moe. You're listening to 5-9 of the Fan, KFNS, Wood River, and 5-9ofthefan.com St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Tom Roberts. Boeing is supporting President Trump's action to ground its 737 MAX fleet after two deadly crashes in less than 6 months. At the White House today, Trump said an emergency order is going into effect immediately and will last indefinitely. He expressed condolences about the recent crashes.
Our hearts go out to all of those who lost loved ones, to their friends, to their families in both the Ethiopian and the Lion Airlines.